Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, it's an honor to be here with your people, to have the privilege of the access of coming directly to you. And so, Lord, we thank you for the gift of prayer, the power of prayer. And that weapon, may we not surrender it through prayerlessness to the other side and render it inoperative, but may we pray. And thank you for allowing us to meet, pray for a few moments each Saturday morning. And Lord, as we look at the prayers in the Bible, we can learn so much. And today, again, we see a prayer filled with application for each of us. And so help us to glean from this prayer, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, we're going to look at Judges chapter 13. And a very interesting account here, in a sense. Chapter 13 starts out, again, Israel sinned in the sight of the Lord. You know, Judges is a series of cycles of Israel. Every man doing what he thought was right. They didn't want a king. I mean, they had judges, but they're later going to turn to a king. But they kept doing things wrong. And they'd turn away from the Lord, and they'd go into bondage. They'd cry out to the Lord, follow the Lord, and he'd raise them up, defeat their enemies, and then they go back into bondage again. So again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And now we have chapter 13 coming here. And it's very interesting what God says. He says he has a plan basically to begin to deliver Israel out of their 40 years of bondage to the Philistines. And that plan is going to involve a judge, is going to involve a deliverer, is going to involve a man by the name of Samson. And the thing that's so interesting to me is that God's plan to deliver Israel through Samson sounds like a great plan, right? But do you know that plan, what it's dependent upon? It's dependent upon Samuel's obedience. Just like our lives. God wants to work through us, but he's not going to force us to be obedient to him. And if we're not obedient to him, he'll use somebody else because we're out of the ballgame. If we have sin in our lives, we're disqualified. Samson was kind of a type of Israel. He had highs and he had lows. Great potential. But he had a lust problem. He had a sin problem. And he kept falling into sin. And so he never did attain anywhere near what God could have used him for, I don't believe. But now today's prayer is the beginning of that, where the angel of the Lord comes to Samson's future mother. She's not given a name. She's just the wife of Manoah. But the angel of the Lord appears to her and she's barren. Now, keep in mind, barrenness, particularly in that time, was like the woman's worst curse. If you were barren, I mean, you were like nothing. And she was barren. And as far as we know, Manoah had no other wives, so they had no children. He had no sons either. So here the angel of the Lord comes to her and says, "You're going to have a son." Now, if I was the mother and I heard that, I would say, whoopee. And if I was the father, I'd say, whoopee, whoopee. I'm going to have a son. And I would be so excited with that that I probably wouldn't think about anything else. But we notice Manoah here takes a total different approach than I would have taken. First, the angel of the Lord comes to his wife, not to him. She goes and tells him about this encounter with the Lord. Angel of the Lord. They didn't really know for sure at that time who the angel of the Lord really was. But rather than doubt her, like many husbands would, you women, you get all excited and you want a son so badly, you probably just had this vision or whatever, and I'm not even sure it happened. He didn't say that at all. He prays to the Lord to come the second time and reveal to him, not that he's going to have a son, but that he would tell him how to raise his son. That was his concern. How do I raise my son? Now, the angel of the Lord told the wife of Manoah, one of the conditions was for this son, that during your pregnancy, you have to live the life of a Nazarite. No strong drink, no unclean things. That's during your pregnancy. And your son is going to have a Nazarite vow for his whole life, from the womb all the way to the end of his life. No razor shall cut his hair during his entire lifetime. He was to be given over to the Lord. He was to be set aside for the Lord. He was to be a continual Nazarite performer of the vow. Now, Nazarite vows at that time were not too unusual, but they were short periods of time. And you would take a Nazarite vow, and you would not eat anything unclean, for sure. You would keep yourself pure. You would stay away from strong drink for this period of time of a vow. And you typically would cut your hair at the beginning and let your hair grow out and so forth. But here, Samson, the plan is, from God's standpoint, from an obedience standpoint, he's going to have a Nazarite vow his whole life. Whole life. Whole life set apart. And I think that's what the Lord wants for you and I. I think he wants our whole life set apart to be available for him. But we will see here, we don't really get into this today, but we will see Samson's later life. He is anything but obedient his whole life. And he actually even contributes with the enemy to tell or give away his secret of his strength. And it really wasn't his hair, but his hair was a sign of his giving over to the Lord. And once he had his hair cut, he had no more strength. And he didn't even know he lost it. But we have the prayer here in verse 8. Manoah prayed to the Lord Yahweh and said, "Oh, my Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again." Why? "And teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born." Notice the faith here, much stronger than Zacharias. You know, Zacharias was told he was going to have a son, and he didn't believe it. And because he didn't believe it, because he had been barren so long, he lost his voice, remember, until the son was born, until John the Baptist was born. But here, Manoah doesn't question they're going to have a son. Not at all. His only concern is, how do we raise him? And would you come again and tell us? We want to get it right. I think that is so awesome. Just this, the humility of this man, and not, whoopee, I've got a son. Oh, wow, it's about time. No, no, no. It's, teach us what we shall do for the child who will be born. And listen to this answer to the prayer. And God listened. And God listened. He's listening this morning to us as well, I know. But and God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came to the woman again. Didn't come to Manoah. Came to his wife again as she was sitting in the field, but her husband was not with her. Notice also, she's in solitude here. Solitude, you and the Lord, just you and the Lord, is an awesome time, probably the best time any of us will ever really have with the Lord. Just the one-on-one. Yes, we want to meet in prayer groups. We want to pray with our spouses. We want to pray with our children. And we want to sit under teaching and so forth. We want to meet with the body of Christ for sure. But still, that time alone with the Lord is a precious time. And as she was sitting in the field alone, the angel of God came to her again. Now notice, the woman doesn't say, "Hey, I want to take you to my husband. I'm not sure he would want to see you. I want to take you to him." No, she doesn't. She says, "Stay right here. I'll go get my husband." So in haste, she runs and tells her husband, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah arose and followed his wife and came to the man and said, "Are you the man who spoke to the woman?" He said, "I am." And Manoah says, "Now let your words come to pass." Now listen to this. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work? How are we to raise this son? I just love the responsibility of this father here. This is something that we have so lost in today's families generally. Fathers do not take responsibility for raising their sons or any of their kids. How many of our fathers are not even living with their children? How many kids born today don't even know who their father is? Or if they know who their father is, they never see him, they never live with him. But here Manoah is taking responsibility. It's not, "Well, you know, the angel of the Lord appeared to you, wife, you take care of the son. I'm going to go hunting or I'm going to whatever." No, he wants to know, how will we raise this son? And what will be his life's work? So the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, nor may she drink wine or similar drink or eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Notice the obedience here. The obedience for Samson's life is beginning with the obedience of the mother while Samson is still in the womb. Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you, and so forth. He goes on in to take care of him and one thing and another. So in summary here, what do we have? We have God's requirement of us to be obedient. He will use us if we are obedient to his calling and to following him. But we have to set ourselves away from sin and filthiness. We cannot cohabitate with sin and filthiness in our lives and do what he wants us to do. And so here Manoah, primarily interested, how do I raise my son? Totally believing that he would receive his son. He didn't question that. And as far as we know, his wife didn't question it either. We don't see her laughing like Sarah did. Now, she may not have been 90 years old at this point either. I don't know, but... at any rate, we see the importance for obedience. Well, Father, we know that without the leading of your Spirit and without the following your Spirit, we can do nothing in our own strength. Though it's not that we want to try harder, really, it's that we want to die to the old man, reckoning to be dead, and we want to be filled with your Spirit and be moving in accordance with your leading and with your guiding. Lord, we thank you. We can gather here this morning in prayer. And Lord, draw us into one accord, and may we respond as you prompt us to pray, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.